John Wayne Wright, and beginning to visit with Selbert and Kathleen after all these years, this Sunday, the 2nd of February, 75, Groundhog Day. John Wayne Wright, and beginning to visit with Selbert and Kathleen this Sunday after supper, the 2nd of February, 75, Groundhog Day, after all these years. The first session. Channel 1 Right, beginning the visit with Selbert and Kathleen this Sunday, the 2nd of February, 75. Channel 1 Right, beginning the visit with Selbert and Kathleen this Sunday, the 2nd of February, 75. Groundhog Day.
The road's my place.
Oh, really?
Sure enough. Went to school together.
Oh, sure enough.
Because I was older than he was.
Oh, that's the...
Jerry.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
No,
you
Fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Fat.
Yeah.
Fat.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that is a
he
prize.
Was a fat man.
Mother, these are the pictures of our new grandchild. I don't think you can see them.
I don't believe I can with that. Oh, I can
you
see
never saw
bit.
Jim but once, and that's when we brought...
Oh.
We were up in Moorhead.
We were up in Moorhead.
It was a long time, wasn't it?
I guess so. But I could sort of
this
feel
is the whole family.
The whole family.
Mm-hmm. Our son and his wife and the baby.
And the baby.
When it was 5 weeks old.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Rebecca.
And he's the youngest, young
he's,
one?
Yeah, he's my youngest son.
Youngest son, uh-huh. Yeah.
Guy, you want to see Jim and his family?
I can't get
he
out.
He is big, isn't he?
He is big.
Big.
I never thought he'd do anything like that.
He,
uh-huh.
Right in this one,
look at that.
He's feeding the baby here, and he really looks fat in that one. And this is the day they brought it home from the hospital. Put him just before
just
Christmas Eve.
They put her in a red stocking and she looked as if she was 6 months old.
Oh, sure enough. Put him in the red stocking. Oh, they cute.
This is Christmas Day. It's not as good a picture as that.
Yeah.
And he had Granny with it.
Well, isn't that cute? That's good of Granny too, isn't it?
Granny.
Yeah. Well, sure is. Well, I just like to keep them all.
Oh, no, you can't keep them. That was the excuse I used to get them myself. I said, well, Guy, I want to see.
Well, sure will.
So that's why you got them, dude.
Really good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, Talbot, let's just sit back a minute and rest a minute. You know,
it's me.
Eating's hard work. When you concentrate on the way out.
And you know who washes dishes?
Who?
He won't let anybody else wash dishes because they make too much fuss. So
he made a deal with me. If I wouldn't make him go out to eat, he'd wash the dishes.
Oh, I see.
But
well,
Mother gets to wash.
I
used to wash dishes all the time, but I got to where I just was afraid I'd make a little noise. And I just kind of quit.
I bet you get back into it while you're here. He's been waiting on you to get
here. I don't know whether I'm going to get back. Come on. I don't like for anybody to tell me.
Mother likes to get right up on the table and wash the dishes.
Yeah.
I like to clean up.
That's what she
said.
I like to clean things
away.
Then I sit down and rest.
Yeah, and rattle the dishes and you can't talk.
Well, I don't want to talk while I'm right.
Well, I guess I did that.
People usually eat the table, you see.
Right.
Here, we have to live around the table.
But,
right.
I remember a guy telling somebody.
But most people will get up and leave your table,
yeah.
You know, and of course,
sit in the living room.
And sit in the living room, but we don't have a living room.
We got mama's room, that's the closest thing to it.
Yeah.
I can go sit in your room, honey.
Yeah, you can go sit in my room. Anytime, you're welcome to come to my room.
Well,
right.
I think it's nice to sit around the table.
That's right.
Well, we do it
too,
at home.
Huh?
We do it at home.
Is that right?
Sit around the table, sure.
Mm-hmm.
What? Push back?
Well, we sit around sometimes when we want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly everybody that comes to our house comes to the kitchen.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they come in our kitchen door.
And
don't
our kitchen.
Don't even bother about the front.
No.
And our kitchen door's on the back, too. I don't know why, but they just drive
but
in
they
the
just
drive.
Drive in and
drive
come all the way down.
Down.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, they know that's where I am.
And look at that.
Well.
Yes, we really do. But the son that lives there, though, he don't stay with the table very much. He goes and stays for the TV.
Oh, he does?
Oh, yeah. As soon as he comes home from work.
Well, the,
in the afternoon,
grandchildren
he turns the TV on.
Well,
and if you don't like the TV, you have to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because he's got his corner over there at the TV, but his room is downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
But he has his place right
Sir?
There.
You play the TV?
No, not much.
And we all know it.
Well, what do you, how much?
How much?
How much do I play the TV?
Yeah.
See the news and...
Not any program he has to hear.
See the news and one or two others. I don't know what they are.
You got it over.
Do you watch As the World Turns?
No. What is that?
Well, it comes on about 12:15.
That's a program.
On CBS.
These women and men that
women.
Stay home all time watch. That's reason.
Maureen won't
I
miss
don't.
It. And her mother.
Oh, is that one of the stories?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You know, I have never got in on a story. I'm afraid I would get the habit. And I just don't listen.
But I think I
she
guess
doesn't
you
either.
I don't. But and it tickles me to death. Mother and her sister watch them. And they'll get together and they'll talk about those
stories.
Just like they were real
yeah.
people, you know.
Yeah.
And the woman that Mother lives with said, you know, I just had to quit watching them. I just got so worried about
guys.
Of course, somebody was always.
I can't understand about those.
A husband, a wife, or you have an illegitimate child, or you know, just all that kind
those,
of junk in it. And she
stories.
Said, she just worried about
of course.
It, so she just quit watching it.
Well, now let me tell you, that's what I haven't had any experience of that, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it. But I know that's the way it is
yeah.
because you live you hear those and they stick in your mind and you start.
Well, I don't. I just don't believe though. I could sometimes when we Maureen and the ones our age, you know, get together. Why they get to talking about what this one and that one doing and what do you think they gonna do about this and that, you know.
Oh, really?
I just don't believe I could get that in it. I guess I could if I watched it every
Maureen?
Day.
Maureen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maureen
she watches it. That one story.
That one.
And
then
everybody
the rest of them.
That, you know, those that didn't work.
I think it's about that time it comes on.
It comes on at 12:30. Yeah. And just, you know, get
her
lunch.
Mother get
well,
up from the table and go watch.
Well,
I guess if you
the thing of it is, if everybody, all the neighbors watched it, you'd have
yeah,
to kind
have
of
something to talk about. Don't
have
you?
Something to talk about, yeah.
Well, with Mother, it's good, I guess, because she's by herself so much, you know, and it's in a
oh, I don't blame.
But if I go in, if I happen to be there at that time, I just may as well leave because she pays no more attention.
Oh, she just cut you out.
Yes, sir. I just, if sometimes I go in and have lunch with her, you know, and take her to the grocery or somewhere in the afternoon. And but when that 12:30 comes, I just go in the other room or get a paper or magazine or something and sit down because she tunes me out right then, quick.
What did you say a while ago, Thomas? You forgot.
Well, I can't understand. They say that those stories are recorded earlier before a live audience.
Yeah.
And that As the World Turns is on 6 days a week, I guess. I don't know whether it's on Saturday night.
No.
For 5 days a week, and I can't understand how they know their parts. They're on every 5 days a week, and I, of course, they got those cards sticking around in different places.
Yeah,
but,
oh, yeah.
But
the cards.
As
the world.
I just can't.
Things.
I don't know how they give it as good as they do something different every day. And being recorded
you know,
before a live audience.
Yes, that always baffled me, and it's always interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And it looks like they're interested in it.
Yeah.
You know they get bored with it.
Well, they get paid for it. They're pretty
yeah,
good.
They're
I mean,
doing it every day. You know they sure don't
show
it, do they? No. Change his shirt.
Or she's going somewhere?
You you never know what he's going to do.
Well, I tell you, Delvin, you were sitting over there with a nice shirt on. I was sitting over there with that old nightgown on.
And
I thought, well, I'll get me a little
cover he's been dressing for dinner these days, but not changing his shirt before.
Yeah, I'd pay him a shirt and put on my khaki britches.
Right thing you know, you're going to be... Yeah,
we really live like a high life down here. you don't even know who the congressman is now. Vice Garrett's the last one you knew.
Yeah.
Cordell Hall, Vice Garrett.
See.
Yes. We always had the speaking.
Ed Jones.
But you don't go here and speak.
How do you know he spoke?
Well, that's it. See, you always heard Finest Garrett when he
no,
comes.
No, I never heard Finest Garrett. Never seen him.
Never saw him?
Mm-mm. My dad knew it.
Your daddy did, yeah. But you didn't know.
I didn't know it. Mm-hmm. I've seen Jerry Cooper two or three times. I'd seen him two or three times.
Fats Everett was who you knew then.
Well, yeah. Well, I knew
you
him.
You knew him.
He's going to school.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, didn't
well, you know Jones, too. He came in. We were going to see Jim one weekend. Stopped to eat lunch, and he came in where we were eating. One that took Fat Everett's place.
One that took Fat's place, I don't know.
Ed Jones.
Mm-hmm. He had just flown in from Washington to Nashville. Was on his way to Camden to dedicate the courthouse, and he came in there where we was eating. I thought the guy got stuck up there. I wasn't expecting to see Ed Jones. Sure does look like Ed Jones. And came back to where we were and spoke to us. I don't know him.
Some man asked him if it wasn't. He was like we were. He thought it was Jones, but, you know, just seeing him in pictures. I never seen him before.
Well, you see the sheriff.
Hmm?
The sheriff.
Because you have to go over there and pay your taxes.
Yeah.
You in Fulton County.
Fulton County, that's right.
Yeah. The day I got my notice, went the next day and paid the thing. First time I've ever done that. Yeah. I was going anyway, and I said, well, I'm going to go down there and pay the taxes.
You got a rebate.
Well, that's a little. It's not enough to go to make a trip to Hickman Park. No. Unless you're going anyway.
Well, it must have been a little bit.
Well, it's not much. He's a guy.
Not as much as it was.
Not.
After you got after him.
But,
I thought I did have it.
What did you tell me about the O'Brien County taxes?
My tax in O'Brien County this year were 22 cents higher than they were last year.
22 cents. Wonder how that feels.
Some of them are higher, some of them are lower, and some of them are the same.
Well,
they told me up there.
That makes me think about of my retirement check. The senator, Milton Hamilton, is one of the senators, you know, and he's from Union City, and he pulls for the teachers. You know, his daddy was. Teacher and superintendent, and now he works for the TEA, you know, he's a lobbyist for him and everything, and he's going to get all the retired teachers a raise, $1.16 for every year they taught, you know, so everybody was so excited over it, you know, he's going to get a raise, and so I got this little note in here that they try to have it all figured out by October, I think my check was just a little bit more, just a few cents, you know, but it was such a few cents that I didn't even notice that it was more, you know, and this little note was in with it that they would try to have them all figured by October, and then if there's any adjustments that need to be made, they make them. Well, when my October check came, there wasn't anything, I didn't notice that there wasn't any difference, but in a little while, in a few days, I got a check for 27 cents. And that's not all of it. It was adjustment for 3 months.
9 cents a month.
9 cents a month. Catherine?
That's hard to believe it.
Well, I said, I'm glad I didn't go out and count on that dollar and 16 cents for times 25 and go out and buy something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I just knew that there had to be something wrong. You know? Uh-huh. I just knew there had to be. And they had made too many mistakes. When I retired, they told me that they'd send a doctor a check and, you know, a lot of stuff and on the paper. Well, I just sent in the application, and the doctor sent his findings, and on the first day of July, well, I got my check. And every first of the month, you know, I'd get a check. Well, the 15th of December, I got a letter saying that I had been accepted as a retired teacher, and for the rest of my life, I'd get this that amount, you know. He had been drawing gotten a raise in that time.
And
that letter was dated in June, and I didn't get it till the 15th of December. They just mailed it for me. They just mailed it. Waited that long to mail it.
Oh,
and so, you know, there's so many mistakes like that. I thought, well, it's bound to be that 9 cents is bound to be wrong. But it wasn't.
That was your increase.
So we've had an awful lot of fun out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, it was one reason there was a mix-up. See, some of the teachers that retired before 72, their check was worked on one formula, and the ones who retired after 72 has worked on another formula. See.
Huh.
And the ones before did get a raise. I mean, more. And mine was just supposed to be cost of living raise, you know, and I didn't
cost
get that.
Cost of living.
Yeah. But it was so funny. Everybody's thinking they won't get $1.16 time all the years that they worked.
25 years, that'd been a pretty good check.
I could
buy something.
Yeah.
Sure, I'm glad I didn't get it ahead of time, though.
Yeah, I remember
I'm glad we didn't go ahead and buy TV or something on strength of your race. How old are you?
He
doesn't even know.
66. 7, somewhere along in there.
You fooled around, got to be 67. Mm-hmm. I thought you were a couple of years old now. I'll be 66 in July.
Yeah.
It's a good wife in July now. It doesn't feel like it now.
Half a year. Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I kept thinking about politics. Was it Jim that ran for county court clerk?
Mm-hmm. Tax assessor.
Tax assessor. Well, tell me about that.
Got beat.
How did he ever get into politics?
Well, the fellow that's in there, was appointed. No, he wasn't appointed. He beat the man that was appointed by the county court.
Yes.
And then this fellow that's in there now, and the fellow that beat all Jim and the rest of them, beat the man that was county court appointed. And he doesn't know A from Izzard. And everybody, well, we need a new man. Jim came out of there, the girl that worked for the man that got appointed got fired when the man beat him. And she was sore about it, and she talked to me before Jim came home in the Army and was wondered if she'd like to work for him if he'd run and be elected. I'd forgotten all about it. And after Jim came home, she called me. I told her about when he's coming home in the Army. Well, and he talked about it, and we talked about it, and several urged him to run, and he did.
Yeah.
Well, and several, he thought Jim's idea was just running against this man.
Yeah.
You see, but before the thing was over,
two
others came out. One came out about 15 minutes
before the deadline. Well, I said, Jim, and this was one of this man that came out just before the deadline was the man that the present court appointed. He ran, and I said, don't look like Carlton Kruger's going to run. I said, you might have a good chance of getting it. in just the 3 or 4 minutes before the deadline where he qualifies. Wasn't nothing to do, but I said, I knew then Jim didn't have a chance. Because Jim would have gotten all of his votes.
Jim worked so hard, you know.
Oh, did
he? Oh, Lord, yeah.
Being a candidate is hard work, it's hot weather.
That's the reason I told you I knew what, how big O'Brien County was. Jim and I made that campaign over that
thing. Oh, did you?
Sure. He did more than I did, of course, but I helped him stack up his placards on the trees, you know, posters. And, Jim maybe would have, I know he would have done better. Of course, he was, this boy that came out late, he was just gotten, well, practically all of his votes. Jim carried Union City.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, he carried Union City, although he came out last.
Oh.
He got 996 votes.
Well, I tell you, I don't think anybody in the race could have beaten the man that's in there, though he isn't really qualified.
He didn't know. He didn't know what's going on.
He has a big family. He has 8 or 9 brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And all of them have big families that are grown to vote. And he belongs to the Church of Christ. Not saying anything against the Church of Christ, but you know how they stick together. Mm-hmm. And if anybody in the race is a Church of Christ, well, that, you know, they just stick together. And I don't think any of them could have beat him after the way it turned out. Mm-hmm. And nobody ran against him the last time. Wow. But I think Jim's better satisfied, I believe, in what he's doing than he would have been in there. Because you get in politics, then,
Catching your blood.
Oh, well, I said,
if you don't get in and...
He came out of the Army.
Nobody comes out against
old.
You while you...
Didn't have a job. And I thought, well, I said it cost $1,600 to make the race, and it paid $12,000 a year, $1,000 a month. And I said, well, that's pretty good odds. You cost us $1,200 to make the race. Where that'd just be just 1 month's salary, and you'd have it the rest of it. You'd get an office in the bank, and you got it the rest of your life.
And it did cost $1,200?
Oh, I don't know what it cost, but it cost right smart.
Yeah.
It sure cost to make them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know what they
cost. It cost $600 to get a name on the ballot.
Well, they have
don't
to.
Don't tell me.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't know that.
The candidates have to pay for
the people to run the election.
The election.
They don't do that anymore, do they? But
they didn't in that last one, but I think that was a special election. I don't think
the candidates had to put in so much.
So it's more of the candidates, the less it cost you.
And he did get after so many came out.
$200 or something
of
it back. They put it high enough that they know that it will pay for it.
But I didn't know that.
I never heard of anything like that.
I never did.
Candidates have to pay for the election.
I didn't either.
Well, they're the one who wants to be elected. They don't in Fulton County. They don't cost for a dollar to qualify in Fulton County to run.
Yeah.
Because, and they don't, the county court clerk gets that, so the county court clerk's usually going to be a candidate, so he doesn't charge them anything.
Yeah.
But you have to get, it costs whatever the election commission sets, then the candidates have to pay for it. And then if there's anything left over, well, they give it back to them after the election's over, which Jim got, I forgot, $200 or $300.
Out of the six.
Yeah. Well, there was only two offices up for like sheriff and this tax collector, and there was about 6 or 7 candidates for sheriff and 4 in this tax assessor's race.
Now that was an O'Brien.
Yeah.
Well, O'Brien County is, I don't know anything about that country. O'Brien County, is that larger than Fulton County?
Oh, it's twice as big as Fulton County. Yeah.
It's got all those little towns in it.
Yeah.
It's got some of the best land in the world, and it's got some of the sorriest.
Oh, it has?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, where's the sorry land?
Down toward Lake.
Oh.
It's deep gullies, and it's amazing how.
Well, is it just because it was not taken care of, or just?
No, just hilly, and the white man cleared it up, cut the trees off of it.
O'Brien,
and
Union Citizen,
O'Brien County.
In O'Brien County.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Woodland Mills.
Woodlands in Obine.
In Obine, too.
Obine County. Mm-hmm. In Obine, Troy. And
Kenan.
And south, part of Fulton, South Fulton.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good size.
Yeah, it's a big county.
Boy, it was second. Had South ran second in that race, was from South Fulton.
Yeah.
Of course, he carried.
South Fulton was the largest.
South Fulton, and that he got 1,300 votes, 1,300 some votes. And the man that was elected got 2,300.
Yeah.
He beat him by 1,000 votes. But the three bottom ones were real close. Jim got 996. And the other next man got 1,013 or something like that. And the other one, what was he got?
Oh, what county was that in?
Oh.
That was in the same one, in Obine County.
Obine County, in
the lower
part.
Second man got about 1,300. The third man, 1,013 or something like that. And Jim got 996. So they was pretty close. Because this top man was elected, he was incumbent, and he got 1,000 votes more than the second man.
Well,
say, you got NFO around here?
Hmm.
I don't get said.
NFO.
You know what NFO is? I wrote that down in my hand. I was going to ask you a while ago. National Farmers Organization,
mm-hmm.
where they kill the calves, keep them going to. Have you seen it on television?
Mm-hmm. No.
Mm-hmm.
Killing the calves because the cattle's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were selling, try to run the
price. Let me tell you something. I haven't been in the cattle organization. I don't even see anybody in it, so I don't know what they're doing. Now, they may.
Well, you knew that the cattle had gotten a lot cheap, didn't you?
Oh,
real cheap. You buy them 15 cents a pound or less.
Yeah, that's pretty
good.
Nice.
And to protest cheap, these men
yeah.
killed the calves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has it been doing it down in your section?
No, it was on TV.
It was somebody, I was thinking, up there not far from us somewhere.
I don't know where it was.
They offered them for sale. I know.
And they're going to, somehow or other, they were doing their own slaughtering and selling the meat.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to do something.
As independent, knocking out the middleman, you know? Some way. I don't know how it ever came out. It's pretty strong up there where Jim was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Somehow that business of killing the calves.
I just couldn't think
hogs,
of killing the calves.
Never seems to get them there for
now. No, it's just from television.
It seems like it goes against them more than it helps them.
Yeah.
You remember the cheese factory at Dresden?
I think that's just to get attention.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the cheese factory at Dresden?
Uh-oh.
I heard this fellow Pentecost talking about he worked at the cheese factory at Dresden.
Oh. Well, let me tell you. No, I don't have a recollection of the cheese factory in Dresden.
Cheese factory.
Yes, there was a cheese factory in Dresden.
I was just trying to think. I can't remember a cheese factory being there. But
I heard him talking about it a few days ago.
Yeah.
Oh, cheese factory ever.
I know. I didn't know there was one.
You I was at McEwen.
Did that during the Depression?
Hmm.
No, I wouldn't. No.
You don't remember the Depression?
Yeah, I remember the Depression. I don't remember any cheese factory in Dresden during the Depression.
Well, what's he doing down there, Albert? Just knocking around?
Same thing we're doing here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where he
headquarters. He's at Fort Myer. They're at Fort Myer.
Yeah. That's his headquarters. That's he likes it down there.
They go there every year. That's where they go every year, isn't it?
They just in a motel.
Now, you all would know him if you'd see him. I know because he knows your family. And he knows,
I know
who you were before you married. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I wish he'd come up here and see you. And
he's
I'd love to see him.
His name sounds familiar.
His
initials
are
TD. I know Casey just so well.
Well,
we all know
there's
Casey.
He has an uncle that's named Casey Pentecost. Uh-huh. Then I hear him speak of young Casey.
Yeah, young Casey. He's been in politics in Nashville for I forget what it is.
Young Casey.
Young Casey. He's never married.
He hasn't.
Utilities commission.
And
his daddy was named Casey. Yeah. I don't know him.
Well, now that was his uncle.
This boy's fellow's daddy was named Bates.
And I don't remember him.
And he had a uncle named Jack.
He's living in he's real sick now.
Oh yes, yeah. I know he is. Uh-huh.
They didn't know whether they were gonna get to make this trip or not.
On account of him,
he's in
a home of some kind. He's been real sick.
He was in a Bryan County hospital for a while, and then they moved him to a nursing home.
Yeah.
I think they moved that nursing home at Dresden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think I've heard that he was there. Little Casey did have an interest in that, helped to build that nice, it's a nice nursing home there in Dresden, between Dresden and Gleason out from there.
Well, there was a Pentecost that was county judge there several years ago.
Oh, right? it was his father.
Was it his father?
This young boy's father. Oh, yeah. He was a very small man and a very quick man. He walked around very much. He made a big talk, nice talk at Bill House's funeral. I remember. He was a friend of our people, our family and all. The judge was real friend.
Well, he was a preacher, minister.
He was a preacher too. A hard shell.
I think so too.
Casey, the older one was. Little Casey's got an opponent, I noticed, a woman this time running. He's been in office now for several years. Yeah. Several. I forget what the kind of an office
it is. I have too. Public
service. He's been
service.
In office a long time, and I just noticed that there's a woman out against him now this year.
Did you?
I just wonder.
Did you know Albert Gore's wife?
Uh-huh.
She was a Dresden girl.
Yeah, she was a... Who was she? I forget who she was.
She related to the Pentecost some way, I think.
Yeah, I heard it, yeah. Or to his first wife, but she, one of the other, I don't know. Nancy, her name is Nancy.
Yeah, she was quite a active person. She was a smart, they thought, some people thought that she was real.
Well, she and Albert Gore, both of his fellow Pentecost, they were at his Uncle Casey's funeral. And she spoke to everybody
She was very popular.
And Albert didn't have much to say to anybody. That's after he'd gotten beat.
She was very...
Well, he shouldn't take it personal, should he?
Well, of course not.
Well, he didn't have to be a smart person.
He didn't
friend
him
now.
He'd LaFon.
He could rest.
She was a LaFon.
That's right. I heard him say so.
She
it comes to mind.
She was in LaFon.
Did you know her, Faye?
No.
Yeah.
Your junk was a blooming.
My people were in politics in Weekly County quite a bit. The Elliots. And
the Glasgow's around.
Glasgow's were kin to me too. Well,
of course, the ones I know are young, and you wouldn't know those. There was a James Glasgow that lived out there about Palmersville, who now is a lawyer there.
He's a lawyer.
Well, you do know him too.
Nice one.
He's one of the nicest lawyers I ever talked to.
And he was a nice young lawyer.
That's what Pentecost said. He gets the nicest fellow when he was a youngster.
Real nice. Let me see what age he's. I believe he was Bill House's age.
Well, I'd say he was younger than me and Guy. Several
years.
Yeah, I think I would too. I'd say he was maybe 50. Would that sound about right?
Yes, I guess they are.
And then there's Robert Glasgow.
Robert Glasgow.
That is General Sessions' judge at Dresden.
How do you know so much about Dresden?
Well, this
that's
James.
That's the county seat. Maybe one reason.
James Glasgow is a lawyer there in Union City.
Pentecost keeps me posted.
And this James Glasgow was a lawyer there at Dresden.
I'm not gonna let you take
off. He's real smart.
I gotta take one too.
And he came to Union City. And went in the law practice with a fellow named Elam, and he came there to get himself established to run for. He knew he had the votes in Weakley County, so he came to Union City to get acquainted with the people in Obion County who run for circuit court clerk. Circuit judge. Got to making so much money there in the law office with this other guy. He just forgot about running circuit judge.
He just quit.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know? but you don't ever go over to the courthouse and just sit around with them and visit and find out what the news is, do you?
No, it goes down.
They don't do that in Hickman or Fulton Union City, either one.
Well, that's what I wonder.
No, they don't. They do in, over at Dresden, I've been over that time or two, and that's where they gather to gossip, I guess.
At the courthouse?
This bench is all in the courthouse over there at Dresden.
Yeah.
They gather at the bank in Union City and gossip.
The Galloway at
Union
Bank.
Have a coffee shop in the back in one of the rooms back there. We meet over there every morning and solve the problems of the world and make a lot of the problems.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in town and got a little time, you go around, don't you?
Yeah. Well, sometimes he gets up in June's around and gets off from home by 8 o'clock so he can go to the bank.
You can't get in the bank or in this coffee shop until this bank's open. It's open at 9 o'clock. If you're not there by 9 o'clock, the thing fills up with that. You just sit around tables like this and drink coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care for the coffee particularly, but I like to
talk. You like to talk with the people.
And if you don't get there by 9 o'clock when that bank opens, you don't get a seat.
You don't get a seat.
You mean there's not much coming and going?
Well, there's always somebody wanting a seat.
Yeah. And they all come in.
Yeah, I have gone over once or twice up to Old and Third, that's the other bank downtown. And you can go in that coffee shop, it's upstairs.
Yeah.
You can go in there around 8:30. I have gone in there and had a cup of coffee and gossiped with those folks, then go over to the other bank at 9 o'clock and get the news over there.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, now this is something.
I enjoy it. They're my friends.
Sure.
All of them are my friends.
Yeah. Well, sure, that's where
that's
you...
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you. In Mamu's family there, Porter Henniger, was up in Knoxville when I was there, and I visited around with him. And when he left, he invited me to come up there to Mike Menville and visit with him. And I don't know whether he said it or whether Faye or Mamu just said it or Pearlie or some of them. But he said Porter was the executive secretary of the Southern Nurseryman's Association. The whole darn shop, you see. And then he retired. And, of course, I don't know just how much Henniger Porter has worked in his time, but he comes by sort of quiet-like. But anyhow, what I gathered was that Porter put in the morning going to the coffee breaks. Of course, from one coffee break to another. And that really got me. I just thought to myself, wouldn't that be nice? Just go into a strange place with Porter where he knows everybody, and if I go with him, see, they won't pay attention to me. I can just sit there and just soak it up, find out more.
Just keep your cotton picking mouth shut and you'd learn
just
more.
Just as calm as I can keep a mouth
shut.
He's
been mayor of McMinnville.
Go
from and get one crowd after another.
Several years ago, Colleen and I guess both the boys was with us. We went to Sparger. I went up there to try to find a man to buy some cows from. That, you know where Sparger is. It's up in East Tennessee.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, the best way to find, I didn't know where the man lived. The best way to find this man was to go to the county agent's office, which was in the courthouse. And I saw those old fellows sitting out whittling out there in summertime. They're sitting on those benches whittling on that cedar. Well, they had piles of shavings way up here where they just done nothing but sat there.
They weren't whittling.
Whittled their time away.
Whittling their time away.
And I walked in some office there in the courtroom and I said, where could I find the county agent's office? He said, well, you go up here and go through the courtroom and it's next door to. So I walked through that courtroom and I've seen no smoking signs in courtrooms, and if you spit on the floor at home, spit on it here, and such signs as that. But never in my life. They had those signs stuck around all over that courtroom that said, no whittling. No whittling. I thought that was the funniest sign. And those
you
old
whittle
fellas,
on the outside.
Yeah, whittle all over the courtyard, but don't whittle in that courtroom.
Well, I don't know that.
No whittling.
Well, now that
that's
would while away the time,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah.
When you're in there listening.
Well, they'll be listening to be. It's the court.
You ever sit on jury?
Opinions,
no.
People.
You'd have plenty of time to plenty of time to whittle if you ever get on a jury.
Yeah, it'd be sort of humane in a way, wouldn't
it? They called me on the
jury,
two, 3 years ago. And so I just started. Got me a piece of needle upon it.
And you
right.
Just
and
did
I
that.
Got a lot done. Because there's just a lot of times they'll get started and then they'll send the jury out while the judge and the lawyers talk, you know. And I was the only woman and 13 men. Cause
why,
of,
oh, you
because
were.
Because they had, 12 men, because they had one of the deputies had to stay with us all the time, you know. And then and one time we went to lunch and two deputies went with us.
And you was the only woman.
The woman.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd send us out, you know. And we just had to sit in the room and wait and wait and wait. And first time we did that, I thought, well, I'm not coming back to this place without something to do.
Yeah.
And so I took that. And one day they called 150 people to pick out 12. But we had to sit out in that hall all day long until they got the number they wanted, you know. And
yeah.
We sat there from 9 o'clock in the morning until it was nearly 7 o'clock, I think.
And you've got to do that.
And I sat there and needle pointed all day. And some of the men thought it was the funniest thing, you know, because they said, well, why do you do it, you know, do you like to do it? I said, really, I'd much rather be doing this than just sitting doing nothing, you know. And
yeah,
I didn't know any of the men, didn't have anything in common with them, anything, you know.
A woman serve on you, she doesn't have to have an excuse to get off the jury in Tennessee.
Oh, don't
she? All she does is say, I don't want to serve. And,
yeah. I didn't have sense enough
but
to know.
But they changed
that
law now. And some man told her, you're the only one up here that could have gotten off of this thing.
Yeah, but and I didn't have sense enough to know it.
She wanted $10 a day.
No. Well, it was a pretty good, experience.
Somebody has to do it.
I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy it, but it was something new and different, you know, that I was glad to learn. And
you feel like you was doing your duty.
Yeah, well, sort of, too.
Your duty.
Well, I just thought.
I didn't want to be a...
I thought he wouldn't take me on account of this hearing deficiency, you know. So maybe I wouldn't be able to understand. It's not the loudness of it. It's some words just don't come out right. The sounds, you know, it's a dead nerve, and the sounds just don't sound right. So I thought, well, I'll just tell him that I won't be able to understand.
Oh, is that what it is?
You know, one night you called and she never did make out who you were. That was the reason.
I could not figure out what you said. This is Guy. And I said, and you told me twice. Mm-hmm. And Guy, it just didn't sound, I couldn't get one thing that sounded like Guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for instance, one time, when Jim was at home, we were talking about this fella, our neighbor, that had been to Brazil and to see on a farm tour, you know. And he said something about Parnell had been to Brazil. And I said, well, he went to Brazil. And Jim said, well, that's what I said. And it sounded like, to me, that Jim was saying Missouri. Now, see, doesn't even sound alike.
No.
Missouri and Brazil have no. Uh-huh. But that's the way the sounds come out. Uh-huh. And sometimes it's so much worse than others, you know.
And the other morning, she said, what you
saw. How long has that been bothering
you? She had no difficulty
at all. I decided the word guy just wasn't going to ever come through right,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But the other day when you called back and you said this is guy, it was just as clear as could be.
Yeah, a lot better. Yeah.
But I have a noise in this ear all the time, just a whooshing, and I have to take that little white pill to keep it.
Is that it?
That keep it out of this ear. The nerve from the inner ear to the brain is dead in this ear, and it's affected in this ear. And that's the reason I had to quit teaching. In a group situation.
Makes you nervous.
It just, I could just climb the wall. And when anything's too loud,
same way.
Yeah. But now, let me tell you, these things here, you get used to them, and you can regulate it. Thing here, you regulate here, regulate here,
mm-hmm.
And actually, I find it's sort of relief.
Well, now
I don't use them much, but I have used them.
I went to an inner ear specialist in Memphis. Alice went and had surgery on her ear and never was happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But she, Maureen told her about me having this noise, and I had begun to have trouble at school, you know, it made me so nervous. And, I began to wonder what I was going to do. And so Maureen told this inner ear, she went with Alice down the inner ear specialist about me having so much noise here. And he said, well, now she may not have to listen to that. It may be something that could be done for it, you know. Have her to come down here. So I went down there and he took all those tests and everything, you know. And he says, well, I can't tell you. What's causing it, that I can tell you what's wrong with you. What's wrong with it? And that's what he told me about this inner ear, this nerve being dead, you know. And so he said, I don't see how you teach school.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what grade do you teach? And I said, the second grade. He said, well, those little voices are so high, and the high tones are what I have trouble understanding, you know. Mm-hmm. Somebody talks in a high voice. I just, the grandchild that's in the second grade, I have to either ask Thebit or ask him over nearly everything he says, because he says it in a high, you know, in a high voice.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, this doctor said, and I said, well, I can tell that it's getting worse. But he said, well, I don't see hardly how you can handle it. And he said, if you ever get to the place where you think you can't, why, I'll be glad to help you out if you think you need to be recommended for retirement. So I wrote, the next year was such a hard year, and I could tell it was getting worse, you know, and I wrote him and asked him if he could recommend it, and he had me to come down and take a. He gave me all that test over, you know. And the letter he wrote to the department, or to the retirement board, must have fixed it up right. I think they decided I didn't have a bit of sense.
Better get you out.
Anyway, you know, there was percentage was so low, and and all that. And you know, the sounds in the second grade are so important to the children, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And And when I would, they would say something to me, and I would ask them to say it over, they thought it was because they had said it too low, and they'd say it louder. Well, when they did that, it just scattered everywhere, and I was worse off than before.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's too bad, but you taught long enough anyway.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Let me tell you, Talbot, while we're sitting in here, Faye's getting too much light.
You got too much light.
Getting too much light.
Yeah. I put it off on her. I'm the one that gets too much light. Faye, what Talbot was telling me this afternoon, we're just sitting out there.
Yeah.
You see, the trouble is down there now, they're all so dead burn well-to-do.
So dead blame what?
Well-to-do.
Oh.
He's bragging.
But you...
Make me feel good.
No.
Well, I'm not,
not talking about
your jalopy out there. I'm talking about Charles. Charles Miles.
Oh.
Oh.
Over there at the coffee.
Yeah, he got his certain seat, and you better not get it either. Don't nobody get that seat. Even if he doesn't, even some morning he misses, nobody gets that seat.
Is that right?
Or he may come in.
Well, what do you know?
Now, how important can you get to have a special seat at the coffee place?
I had a coffee place.
I got it one morning by mistake. When I first started going over that.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your story, if you.
Yeah.
Go ahead with your story.
Well, that's better than mine. Go ahead. That's the part of it you hadn't covered before. But you found out, did you?
Yeah.
Who seat it was?
He didn't ask me to get up. He was nice about it. But I've learned since then that I wasn't supposed to get that chair. Nobody else can get it.
Yeah. Well, now
he seems
to
be like a nice fella.
He's a kind of fixture around there?
Oh, sure, he was. The Miles has always ran the Farmers Exchange Bank up until right now. And Charles is the director in it. He's the only one left.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And well, he...
Yeah.
Charles, I don't know.
I thought
he's
out. Charles Miles. Well, let's see.
You don't need to know
he's a way off course.
Yeah, well, that's something.
No, he's not.
Huh? Well, he's.
Well,
they were just talking about
his daddy.
Charles's granddad. Well, I guess it would be a little bit. I guess maybe we're the same kin.
Charles's daddy and Guy's daddy and your mother.
Charles
first cousins.
Charles Miles is.
You get it started.
Charles Miles is. grandfather was a half brother to your daddy.
I never figured it out, and I just sort of dismissed all that from my.
Well, now what? Charles, his granddad.
You see, when they get children who are young and children who are old enough to be the pappies of the children who are young, it gets things pretty well messed up.
Yeah.
Well, and you've got to be pretty well long before you take the. You be patient enough to work that out. Let's get back to this boy. I don't care whose uncle he is.
He's not anybody's uncle.
Sorry?
He's not going to be.
Now he's the only one left there at the Farmers Bank.
That's right.
And he's one of the directors.
That's right.
Morris is gone. And
yeah.
Uncle Charlie's gone.
Yeah.
And Bert's out.
Bert's gone too. As far as that bank's concerned.
But Bert's still. Did he really move his account?
Sure,
like
took his money out of that bank and moved it over to the other bank.
Well, I
heard
that,
but I want to know if it was true. And I asked Jesse Harris one day, and he said it was.
Well, you could ask Bert.
I know I wouldn't either.
Well, I thought maybe Mary Virginia might have a little.
Oh.
You mean he wouldn't?
Well, you know, he felt hurt when he got out, and I wouldn't dare say anything to him. I don't suppose anybody else has. He was hurt when they let him go.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Well, so he hadn't ought to be 70.
just fooled around. He's got 70 years old. Boy, ain't he?
He just... the calendar got a hold of it.
Calendar got
a And Charles, though, is pretty well to do.
Oh, man. What are you talking about?
He's bound to be, because
he's working.
He got all his daddy had. And
he was the only child.
Yes.
There's not a soul in his daddy's house.
He got a house there up there on, you knew where his daddy lived, up there on Main Street. And the house would bring $100,000 easy.
Yeah.
I guess if you found somebody had none on their back. But it's sitting there vacant. He leaves a car sitting there all the time. And he leaves the lights on at night, and he goes over there every morning and every night and sees it.
Remember, this is that big house where Morris Miles lived that used to be on the picture postcard. And it says underneath there, the residence of Morris Miles, Esquire, or something like that.
Mayor.
Mayor.
No, that's before the mayor side. But anyhow, that's way back there. It goes way back there. When he was, that was it.
She was a Dresden girl, Dresden girl. Mm-hmm.
You trying to think somebody's name?
So
well,
he's got all that. Morris, was Morris as well to do as Charlie?
Well, I guess you get, maybe it's better. I don't know. What do you mean, financially?
Hell, I was down there one time, and I walked by the bank, and he had just, General Motors had just divided the stock. He'd had $60,000, and the next day he had $120,000.
He did.
Well, when you add up that fast, you...
No, that was that Charles?
No,
or
Charlie.
Charlie.
Charlie Miles.
Yeah.
That's, things like that to happen right along with him.
Well, Mary Virginia got all that, didn't she?
Yes. Yeah.
Guy, you didn't have to pay inheritance tax on that farm over there because it was entailed. Was that the reason you didn't have to pay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, did they...
I don't have the title. It's just like it was.
Well,
I never did.
Do you know about the Kentucky law?
No.
About those farms?
Well, that's what they used to handle it and told me what would happen.
The Internal Revenue contact you about it?
No.
No one ever?
Oh, no.
Well, and Doug tells me, see, Kentucky has a state income tax law.
Oh.
And he asked me Thursday.
Well, I pay income tax.
I do too.
Do you pay Kentucky tax?
Sure do.
Well, that's what you're getting at.
That's what I was wanting to know.
We've got a hundred acre in Kentucky now.
Do you still pay it?
Sure.
On the proceeds of that farm?
Sure. Do I have to?
I don't know why they didn't send it.
Dub told me the other night that I was supposed to. So I see I live in O'Brien County.
Oh, you don't do it.
No.
Golly, we'll see you in jail then.
Yeah.
Well, they send him his tax.
Well, that's just...
I know, but what they know you have it.
They know I've got the property in Kentucky. And a lot of my income comes off your place and my property in Kentucky. And I didn't know I'm supposed to. Well,
that's fine. You're in good shape.
You just keep that with you.
It don't amount to much.
No, I think you better go tell them about it.
It amounts to about a fourth of your federal income tax.
It amounts to about a fourth of the federal income tax that would come off of that place, and we'd have to keep it separated.
I would keep it separated. When I fill my tractor up there with fuel, how much now I get through working in this field over there, say, for instance, on your place, now
got a half a tank left and come back over in Tennessee. Well, how am I going to tell how much I've spent over there? I think I was going as far as I am. I haven't waited to fill the thing out unless they tell me to.
Charles teaches Sunday school, too.
Oh, yeah. How'd you know that?
You didn't tell me.
No, I sure didn't.
Now he gets that from Morris.
Guess what, from Morris?
Morris was a great teacher, Sunday school teacher.
Sure, he didn't. I don't think he belongs to church.
Morris?
No. They didn't start going to church till he was.
Well, Charlie didn't.
No. Well, when he went First Christian. And Morris, when he went to the...
I don't think Charles did until he married.
Charles didn't go to
his
church until he married.
Charles'
no.
wife
I
is
see,
a church worker.
I see. I got it from his wife. That's what it was.
She's
very nice.
Question.
You know, you met her, didn't you?
Yeah.
She's very nice.
Yeah.
I reckon. I don't see her. I just
yes.
know her. And see, she doesn't know me.
Yes, sweet.
She doesn't know who I am, but I know...
She lived right over there back in Mary Virginia, didn't she?
They've moved, yeah. I thought we was... coffee the other day, and he's talking about who lived where he moved from. And I said, didn't you live there next door to Bert Cox? And he said, no, behind him. And I don't know who Dave Coyle's would have lived in there, where he lived from, moved from.
But now he's not hurt for money.
You mean Dave Coyle bought that place from?
She did one. I don't know who bought it.
He gets. He does these.
No, he's not hurting for money. He got 4 or 5 automobiles. Well, you've got 3 though out there.
Yeah, 3
One antique.
Yeah.
On your miles,
that's
already.
That's a good decoy out there. That sitting out there for people to think somebody was at home. We left my son-in-law left his car that he uses out in the front.
No, he's built a mansion out there.
But he said he left it there
so
people would think that somebody was at home.
Yeah, well, that's
he said his taxes on his, I don't know what he meant, the taxes on the house he lives in and his daddy's too. He said it was $60. City taxes was $60 a month. But he says I can pay it, but a lot of folks can't.
Yeah.
Money's no object with him. Maybe a problem to him. Maybe such a burden to him that it's a problem.
May have so much.
But he.
Well, you know.
Let me tell you something. He's one of the best jury lawyers I ever heard. You get up and speak to a jury just like nobody's business, but he's get him anywhere else. He's about like me. You see people that.
You mean he's really that
he's not.
Wrong
he came out. He
to
talked to Sunday school out for us one time. One of somebody invited him out there, and he's not. He's not much of a. Oh, he'll pass. But I've seen lawyers that. Could speak to a jury, but that's about all they could do.
Yeah. And that's about his speed?
Yeah. I mean, he can get up and make a speech.
Yeah. But he don't need to.
No. No, he don't have to know.
He prepares his business. And
well, now, what you were saying this afternoon was he handled those estates.
Oh, yeah. He handled big Verhines estates and the. And who else did I say?
Swigert. No, who was it?
That's another dead name. Beck State. That wasn't in town. What he got out of those states? Of course, he don't get anything out of his daddy's estate because he's.
He got it all.
He got it all. He got to settle it, though. But.
I went out to one of his daddy's farms one time. It was I was down there, and it was the opening of the bird season. And I think it must have been I rode out with Bert. And he'd gone out there sort of not to hunt, but to make arrangements for hunting. And we went up to the fella that ran the place. I don't remember much about it. The house didn't amount to much, but it's beautiful country out there at that place. And I can't tell you where it was. I got the idea that he didn't have much land, did he?
Martin? No, he didn't have much land. I don't think.
Just that
he's got a farm out there on Mount Zion Road between Union City and Mirehigh. I guess maybe 150 or 60 acres. And he's got another farm south of Union City somewhere. I don't know where that one is.
Yeah. Well, that's the one I went to.
Yeah.
It was out there.
I don't know just where that one is.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the country run up there. But that's where I went. And I remember they said that he had it worked out, the contract that he made with the tenant, so that he had set it down from year to year, from one experience to another, and he even regulated how many chickens a man could have.
Oh, for heaven's sake. How did he, where did he keep a man?
I don't know.
And the goats, things like that, you see, so that he wouldn't have pests around and have misunderstandings. He would, you know, forestall all that. The impression I got was that he wasn't just being legal about it, but he was doing it, you know, for the
I don't know what he did do. He moved a man off of the place because he wouldn't keep the Johnson grass killed.
Well, that's due cause, ain't it?
Due cause, yes, sir.
He moved a man off the place because he wouldn't keep the Johnson grass.
Now, that was
the
story. Oh, he, yeah. I know, though, that the place grew up in Johnson grass. Yeah. That place where you went to.
And that was Charlie
Morris.
Charlie Morris, right?
Morris.
What were those big estates? See, I didn't know that fella. Which one do you name?
Morris.
No, the estates.
Beck's.
The other one.
Verhine.
I didn't know that was a wealthy family.
Verhine, I don't know how much. Well, I'll tell you what he showed me. He was a man that, like, I guess, I knew him well, not intimately, but he's coming out of the old Third National Bank one morning. I was going in. And we stopped. I stopped and talked to him, and something was said about money, I don't know what. And he said, I work for the government. I said, well, don't we all? And he paid his income tax about a quarter. And I didn't add him up right quick, but he had two canceled checks in his inside coat pocket. I guess he carried them in there to show people, I don't know what else. He had two checks in there that amounted to over $30,000. And that's several years ago. For over $30,000 that he had paid for one quarter for income tax. Now, what do you think his estate would be worth?
Well, that's considerable. Well, I just thought he was a merchant.
He owned a lot of.
He owned all of property. He owned all of, practically, I'd say he owned 90% of the buildings on Main Street there.
Is his wife still living?
Oh.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, gee whiz, no wonder he had to pay a tax.
Well, and
then he
has big stores.
Lord have mercy.
Used to go to Verhine's to trade.
Morgan Verhine?
Yeah.
My mother, they hadn't been Morgan Verhine's there in years, and she still called us that place Morgan Verhine's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And it hadn't been there for years?
No.
Now, what, you can't remember the other states? I don't even know the name Beck.
Well, that was the only two I mentioned to you.
No, you didn't.
Huh?
You mentioned another one. Swigert.
No, I didn't. Swigert.
Beckwin owned the...
I used to think of the eye, man. I used to go to the
hotel. And
I'll tell you who he was. Dr. Carlton.
Oh, that sounds like it. It sure does.
He was the oldest one there I knew.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
His wife's still living.
I don't know.
I know she is. She played my niece's wedding.
They think she's 88.
Oh,
and she still teaches piano and voice.
Well, I don't know. I'm 91, so I don't know.
Well, she is. I had to rehearse her dinner for Debbie.
I just told Morgan Verheyen I traded there, went down there.
Yeah, it was a good, nice store one time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it was still
and
there.
I went to a doctor for eyes for a good while.
Yeah, Dr. Carlton, I imagine.
Good while.
And, well,
and
I'm trying
still
to say, we better move a little bit, I'm going to get stiff.
Well,
you're getting stiff, Brian.
30 minutes as long as I'm supposed to. As I always say, I can sit. We settle longer than that.
Phil, I
thought you didn't sleep last night before. You kind of.
I woke up this morning 3:00 and could not go back to sleep.
That's a little early, right?
I didn't know. Yeah, I thought it was, we'd get here a little too early for you if we started then. I crossed the ground on 7:00.
I don't mind.
Oh,
he
let you cook breakfast. Well, I mean, for you.
This winter we had 7:38 when we did it. Sometimes an after 8:00.
Why would you say February to travel?
I wonder why.
Well, I'll tell you.
You just take one.
I
want to
get my income tax
back.
One in the morning. I'm supposed to take three.
Yeah,
doctor said take three.
January.
But I leave the one off at noon unless I have
your Social Security and your labor has to begin by the last day of January.
I'm under pressure or something, you know.
March comes along where the weather begins to.
Why don't you all go in there and walk around?
It sounds like a little. Did you ever hear a wet chicken chirp?
Yeah.
That's the kind of noise.
March comes along. That's the
I'm beginning to have trouble.
But it looked like it's.
I think, well, I guess it's old and I'm old enough to hear.
My mother. It runs in my mother's family.
Oh.
So I'm.
We'll see you. Why don't you go in there and visit with them?
Is she going?
Well, they just going to sit. It's more comfortable in there.
Oh, she's going to.
Yeah. They're just going to sit.
Did you find that? I don't know what she brought that bird in or not.
Brought what?
Bird. She's going to bring in.
Well, let me tell you, Thomas, you see what you can do about it, and I'll get this stuff going over here. You don't do any cooking, do you, Sal?
No, sir. I'm dishwashing.
Thank you. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
What would a man just drive out to the farm and do? Just driving out there.
Nothing. Just
pass
time away.
Well, I can't see much reason for it. Unless you're going to do something after you get there.
And just look around, see what's going on.
It's been so long I've forgotten, Cass. Let me see. Wonder where I did get that. You talking about Sunday school?
You see these oranges all
gathered? Yeah, have to sell.
Well, you mean your neighbors let you go in there and pick them?
Well, you pay them.
You do?
Well, I don't know anybody well enough to just give me. I suppose.
Did you pay for those this afternoon?
Oh, no. This afternoon, I just picked those. Three or four.
I had this place up there in the Hog and Peanut Country, and they were masons up there. And I remember, go ahead, whatever. And the fella that owned it, old Leo Campbell, he would, he didn't miss any of the lodge meetings. I remember one day we'd been working around there, and we were sitting out on after dinner. We were sitting out there on the front porch, and he said to me he had to make a speech, and he looked at me and sort of grinned, and he says, wouldn't you love to help me on that? And you know, I didn't realize for a long time he actually meant it. I couldn't imagine anybody wanting any help on a speech, you know, because people don't make speeches anymore. They just get up and gas or gab a little bit and sit down. And, you know, I left there pretty soon. We had a big time. We did a lot of nice things. And it sort of stuck in my mind, and I thought to myself, well, now that was pretty crummy of me. Here he wanted me to help him on his speech. I didn't know what to do. But I could have gone through the motion and helped him on his speech. I could have kind of found out what he wanted to do, you know, and helped him. And they didn't even take him seriously, and I've been ashamed of it ever since.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Somebody up here.
Oh.
I don't know as I ever had anybody to ask me to help them with a speech.
That's sort of strange.
Guy says that's what he's doing now, writing books and making speeches.
Mm-hmm.
Said he couldn't do that when he's teaching.
Well, I don't make him a speech to speak
out. To speak out.
You're not making him speeches.
You could if you had a subject, couldn't you?
Make a speech?
Yeah.
Look, he's got a sign over there, Miles Running.
I told him that down the road need to replace him. We like not seen it.
Yeah, it's out of date. They ain't at a ranch yet, more or less. They were crackers. They were Florida crackers from way back. The whole clan was up there.
Crackers?
Yes,
Quakers.
Hard crackers. You think of Georgia crackers.
Oh.
These were Florida crackers. And if you didn't hit them right, they were suspicious. And they were spiteful. If you didn't hit them right, you see, but if you sort of fit in there, you know, they were the nicest people you ever met.
What is this fellow going to make his speech about? To what kind of a crowd?
It was to an annual masonry meeting, you see. And I imagine what it would be would just be a whole lot of Masonic principles.
Yeah. Are you a Mason?
No. But I had been to college. I suppose that was it. And he hadn't been, so he figured there was something there that was missing. No, if I'd been a Mason, I could have understood it. There's a juicer over here, if you like it. You like a juicer?
No.
The guy went it to get cold enough to use these stoves.
We've been using one. We've had one a little fire every morning. Oh, you know, just a little one. Oh, it's been cold. This is just a warm spell.
Well, it'll
get cold.
Especially when it's damp, I imagine.
This has been the lightest winter so far, for sure.
Well, it has home.
Well, last winter was a light winter.
Yeah.
This must have been the kind of orange and that kind of juice out of.
Is it juicy? I'm afraid his mother sure is active for 91.
Didn't she?
Well,
I never saw anything like it.
Aunt Nora was too, but she fell. Aunt Nora was quilting for people.
Part children, Fay and Frances, both are extra good. With and Fanny in particular just watches her.
Yeah.
Everything she does. She watches her food and everything.
Yeah. Does she spend much time down here with you?
Well, she comes down this time of year and spends 2 or 3 months, whatever.
How long they stay in? Does the other daughter stay 2 or 3 months down in wherever it is they've gone?
No.
They don't stay that long.
They just take an ordinary little vacation. And they'll have fishes a little bit.
They'll leave her down here then.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they would stay a good little bit. Care about fishing either.
Travel all that way, just fish a little bit. That's about all he does when he comes down here, too.
Where is the best place to send your mail? Evanston or Gainesville?
Gainesville. I don't go over to Evanston very much.
You have to go to the post office to get it, don't you?
Yeah. And I'm just not over there. I used to be over there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it was sort of my headquarters. But like I told you, I kind of lost interest over there. I knew the people so well when I first came down here. And then I kind of got away. You know how you do.
What am I going to do with my mess now?
They're a little bit clannish over there.
They're clannish?
Yes.
They are.
Yes. Just a little bit. A little bit gone to seed. If you ever run into that, you see. You can tell it when you stay around there long enough.
What do you want me to do with my seed here?
Just lay it up here.
That milk carton here.
Here's some more things to wash.
You can't get through like that, can you?
see, yes, sir.
How big is Gainesville?
Gainesville is, let me tell you, when Gainesville got to be 50,000, I lost track. I wouldn't be surprised if not 100,000.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Connie's looking on the map, and she said about 22 or 3,000.
Yeah, but those things, all this Florida stuff, you see, is just, what's
up? Yeah, well, of course it had everywhere. Why, but.
Yeah. Union City?
Oh, yeah, what's up? Yeah. So was Hickman.
Well, how do you count for it?
I don't know. They put a plant down at Hickman. Finally got a little plant down there. Works a couple hundred people.
That's a help.
Union City, Goodyear's got a plant there. It covers the, what do you call it, 60 acres under one roof. They work with 2,300 people. They have laid off 180. They don't think for long. Bill works out there.
Oh, he does?
Uh-huh.
Golly.
They work three shifts. They work the clock around the clock.
You know, that's one reason I just hate to face it, to tell you the truth. If I had somebody to just tell me what goes on, it'd spare me the trouble looking at all that. But I, you see, since I was in Knoxville, they put through those speedways, and you see, you don't go just by the ordinary streets anymore. You find those entrances and exits, and zip along there on that fast traffic, and you come to another exit and duck out, and pretty soon you're right where you want to go. Well, that increases your pulse a little bit.
It sure does, I tell you. If you make the wrong exit, you don't know where you are.
Do you remember, Thelbert, one time when you went to St. Louis and they were kidding you about getting off in the heavy traffic?
Yeah, I guess so.
You don't remember anything like that. It just came to me. And you came back carrying on about what you've been through. You went up to a ball game.
Oh, yeah, we've been up there several years now. They built a new stadium up there. We've been up there one time since then.
Yeah.
We quit going.
You got too much around the home.
Yeah, well, we're getting older. And
well, the young people don't go.
No.
That was St. Louis, you know, used to be the your center.
Yeah, for things of that sort.
Well, for a lot of things. And then was reduced, you see, and I suppose the baseball then was one of the last things. It just hung on. How long the trip? That's not a long trip up there, is it?
Oh, no. 5 hours. 4.
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. They got an interstate now over in Missouri across the river at Cape Girardeau, or you can't cross Hickman for that matter, and get on that I-55 in case, and they've moved the stadium right downtown St. Louis and carry you right to the stadium. I've been through Atlanta yesterday made 4 times, and for the day yesterday was the first time I've ever seen that stadium. You go right by it.
Oh,
right. In the world, I ever missed it.
Yeah.
It tells you signs. This exit, Georgia Stadium.
Yeah.
So on. And those coming in. And that's the days when I came through that yesterday's the first time I'd ever seen it.
Yeah.
I've been through that on I-20 three times. Today was the fourth time. As I was 75, of course, yesterday. But I don't know why I didn't see it. We can take the bypass. Wouldn't you? You been to Atlanta lately, in the last few years? Do you take, well, when you go to, do you take the bypass around 285 or?